To 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I mentioned earlier that, or just a few minutes ago, that I would say a little bit more about our missions, and it's been very exciting. I know the normal part of the ministry that I was able to report on has been exciting, but missions is starting to take off in Kenya. Missions is in its infancy in the land of Kenya. I can imagine that. That's why the devil is so interested in destroying the land of Kenya and the people in Kenya, because he knows if Kenya turns out missionaries, he can defeat try to defeat the work of God. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul was speaking. Thank you very much. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for putting myself in the ministry. Thank you, God, for these other fine brothers and sisters, and Pastor and Mrs. who've been doing the work for many, many years. And I pray that you would bless them. I thank you, God, for putting us in the ministry, because ministry will last when we're called to your service. We pray that you'd bless this message and use it for your honor and glory. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Paul was saved, he was quite a rascal. I think that he believed that he was serving God. I mean, he believed in religion. I think that he believed in God. I think in his own way he was really supposed to serve God. But you know, the Bible says in Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. If Paul kept going on the path that he was taking, he would end up in the lake of fire. But I'm thankful that one day God saw him as he was walking down the Damascus road, and he showed a light round about him and made him fall as a dead man before him. And Paul not only got saved on that Damascus road, but he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I believe he not only repented, but he was willing. He gave his life to do what God wanted him to do. And God said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you shall do. So Paul was quite a rascal. And then after he got saved, Paul's life was changed. God changed his life and he became an evangelist or a missionary. Paul said that God put him into the ministry. You know, serving God and people is what we call ministering to them. Serving God anywhere, that is what he wants us to do, and it's very precious in his eyes. And this evening I'd like to speak about five principles or five aspects of the ministry of missions. I didn't say I would say everything about missions, but I'd like to mention five principles about the ministry of missions. Where does missions begin? Missions begins where you live. Now, Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, in Mark chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Now, I've been married long enough to been accused of more than once, well, you're just not listening to what I say, Jerry. But you know, sometimes we get accused that, and I think all of us, no matter who we are, we can listen or we can hear, but we really can't listen. You see what I'm saying? And we need to be more than just a hearer, but we need to be a doer of the word, as it says in James chapter 1. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now I can preach from morning until evening, but unless you hear my words, they're useless. There was a group of scientists, and they were going to conduct an experiment with a grasshopper. Now a grasshopper, if I remember correctly, has 6 legs, is that right? Okay, spiders have 8 legs. But they took this grasshopper, and they taught it on command to jump. And so they taught it, so every time these scientists said jump, it jumped. And so they said jump, it jumped. And so in their experiment, they pulled off one of the legs, and they said jump. Of course, it was a little more difficult, but the grasshopper still jumped. And then they pulled off another leg, and they said jump. And it was more of a struggle, but this grasshopper managed to jump. Then they pulled off another leg, and another leg, and the grasshopper only had a couple legs left, and still, when it was commanded to jump, it sort of tried to jump. And then finally, the scientist removed all the legs and told the grasshopper to jump, and when they commanded it to jump, it didn't move. So they came to the conclusion, when you pull all the legs off of a grasshopper, it loses its hearing. Now, we know better than that, but I'll tell you, sometimes we act that way. When God tells us to do something, we hear, but we don't listen. I believe that sometimes we just need to be quiet. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." We just need to sit and listen sometimes to what God has to tell us. The next principle of the ministry of missions, it's a matter of hearing or listening, but it's also a matter of believing. Many years ago, I was on another furlough, and I was somewhere, I think, in Virginia, and I needed my haircut. So Nancy, my wife, usually gives me a haircut. I'm actually needing one now, but I went to a barber. And this barber, you know, they go through the normal chit-chat of the barber-customer relationship there, you know, and he asks you a few questions, and you answer him, and you ask him a few questions, and he answers you. And finally asked me what I was doing in life, and I said I was a missionary. He didn't say very much, but he was talking about other things. And finally he asked me this question, Brother Floyd. He said, "When are you going to give that up and get a real job?" And I was kind of flabbergasted, but then later I thought, you know, a missionary was called of God to go to some other place. Actually, we're all called to do what God wants to do wherever we're living. But if God calls a person to a special full-time ministry of going to a place and he's called of him, that's the best job that we can have ever. But missions is a matter of believing. He didn't believe that missions was very important. Jesus was hindered. In Matthew chapter 13, he came to his own place. And they said, "Isn't this so-and-so? Isn't he so-and-so's son? Isn't he so-and-so's whatever?" And they were amazed that he spoke with authority, but they didn't believe him. They didn't respect him. And Jesus was hindered in doing many magnificent works because of their unbelief. Missions is a matter of believing. There was, of course, the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. And he came to Jesus in Capernaum when Jesus came to his little town. And he came up to him and he said, "Lord," and I like that. He was a Roman. And he said, "Lord," he recognized that Jesus was Lord. And he said, "Lord, my servant is sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." The centurion, he was all bothered and he said, "No, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word and he'll be healed." And Jesus was amazed. The centurion went on to say, "I have authority. I tell this guy to go and he goes. I tell this guy to come and he comes." And he just wanted Jesus to say the word. And Jesus was marveled by the faith of this Roman soldier. And he said, "I have not found such great faith. Go thy way as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee." So missions is a matter of believing. It's a matter of hearing. Missions is also a matter of obeying. Amen? We have to obey what Jesus told us to do. I read in the beginning, or said in the beginning, Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I can imagine if in the army we have the lowest ranking individual, a private, and up walks to him a commanding officer or someone of a higher rank than him, and they tell this soldier, do this. And the soldier, he's then puzzled and said, I'll think about it. What do you think would happen to him? He'd be thrown in the brig. You know, sometimes we act that way. When the God of heaven, the Lord of heaven, tells us to do something, and we say, well, I'll think about it. We need to be obedient. We need to be willing to obey Him. Missions, the ministry of missions, is a matter of obedience. The disciples, or the prophet Samuel, had to come before King Saul. And Saul was already told to go over and kill all the Amalekites and utterly destroy them. But he saved back the king, and he saved back some of the animals, and he brought them back. And he had the excuse that they were going to be sacrificed. And Samuel said, I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. It's better to obey. And one time in the New Testament, when the disciples were told not to teach anymore in Jesus' name, what did they say? It's better to obey God than man. Now, God wants us to obey in many things. I mean, there's the first thing that God wants everybody to obey in. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, not everybody's going to repent, but God commanded everybody to repent. That's a matter of obedience. People don't believe, so they don't obey. And then there's water baptism. Now, as you saw in the DVD presentation today, some more convenient poses of me baptizing in a convenient baptistry. Always hasn't been that way, brother. Sometimes in the past, I can remember my first term in Kenya. I was just learning the ropes. And I would go down to a creek or a river. And I can remember one time I took my shoes off. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to run without my shoes. I have tender tootsies. So here I am walking down the bank, and and I'm barely getting down there, stepping on these little rocks. And as I get down into the water, I can try to find a firm foundation, but I have sore, you know, my feet are already beginning to become sore. And in walks the first candidate, a young man that was pretty good size for a Kenyan young man. And I asked him the things that he needed to know. I'm asking him in Swahili, and I was just learning the language. Nakubatiza katika jina la Baba namwana na rom takatifu kuzikwa kamamfana wake nakufufuku kamamfana wake. I was trying to learn those words as a new young Christian in Kenya and as a pastor. And as I started to put him under, I got unsteady in my footing, and I started to move around, and this guy got unstable, and it became like a wrestling match. And arms were flying, and somehow my glasses flew off my head, and as I dove for them, that guy thought I was maybe drowning. So I grabbed the glasses, and between the two of us, we managed to get out of there, and I had very sore feet. I couldn't proceed with the baptistry. Anyway, that was just one of the times. I'm glad we graduated to a nice baptistry with waders and boots and things like that. Another time in a Maasai territory, way out in the bush, we were working with another missionary's work. And we hadn't baptized, or no one had baptized in this little out-of-the-way village. And it was quite a time. We took the people from one location in my old Volkswagen van, and we went down to this big pond that they called a dam out in the woods. And so we were looking around for the best place. And, you know, I learned a little bit from the first time that I baptized. I now was wearing some tennis shoes. Some local tennis shoes that helped me at least walk. And then I found a place that I thought was suitable. I walked down in the water, and the best I can get, the water was about up to here. And so there were these young guys standing around herding their parent sheep and goats or whatever, and they were watching, maybe skeptical. And a young lady came, and she wasn't too big. But I started to ask her, of course she was saved, and I said the words again, and I started to try to put her under the water. And, you know, as I was putting her under the water, there just wasn't enough water for her to go under. And I'm over there trying to push her down there like this. And I can imagine why these young boys watching me, why is this big white man trying to push that girl under the water? And I'm trying to get her under the water there, and she got stuck in the mud. So we pulled her up out of there, and some of the guys said, if you go over here, it's a little bit deeper, and we were able to go over there and finish the job, and we completed the thing. You know, but sometimes it's not so easy to obey God and everything that He wants us to do. But obedience is a matter of, the ministry of missions is a matter of obeying. And then, of course, the Bible talks about presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service to Him. No matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter how old you are, after you get saved and baptized, you can present your body as a living sacrifice. And you know, our lives are very short anyway. Our lives will be over even if we live to be 100. They're only like a vapor that appears for a short time and then it vanishes away. Missions is a matter of obeying. And then, of course, missions is a matter of going. Jesus, before He left, He told His disciples some of the best words that He could say. He saved them. I want you to go into all nations. I want you to teach them how to be saved, baptize them, and instruct them in the things that I told you to tell them. He told them, I want you to start in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts. You know, and the disciples in the first church, they sort of hung around Jerusalem too long until Stephen got killed and Saul was persecuting the Christians. And then what happened? They were dispersed everywhere preaching the word to go in the uttermost parts of the world. Mission starts where we live. Missions is a matter of hearing or listening. Missions is a matter of believing. Missions is a matter of obeying. And then missions is a matter of going, but also missions is a matter of helping and sending missionaries go to where we are not able to go. I've been very excited this past term about missions developing in Kenya. Peter and Gladys Kasamba have been local people from our churches that God has called them to go to Tanzania. And we sent them a few years back, and they were able to go over there, and then they came back for their furlough while we were in Kenya. And then we were able to help them get ready to go back to Kenya. She had become very sick, and I told Brother Peter, if she doesn't come back Kenya and rest and recuperate, she's going to die. And what value is that to you? You need a wife that's alive. So Brother Peter listened, and Gladys and Peter came back, and they got better in their health, and they were able to go around and raise some more support. And it's been exciting for me to see how the Kenyan churches, for a long time, it's been going to Kenya and starting churches and training pastors and helping them build a building and even with the other missionaries, just seeing it end there and there's no extension of their ministry. That's wrong. Missions has to continue on. Mission starts here for you folks. But when we take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the land of Kenya, missions has to start there for them and go into the uttermost parts of the world. We're excited because even though it's in its infancy, missions is starting to grow. Peter and Gladys are living in an area of Dar es Salaam that would be equivalent to the Mecca of Tanzania. Very difficult Muslim area. They stole their signboard more than once from their church. They go around, these people who practice in witchcraft, go around their houses at night. They don't have a fence. around their building, and I'd hang up certain witchcraft items and trinkets to curse them. But they're faithful in doing the work. And a few weeks ago, I was able to talk with one of the local pastors in Kenya, and it was exciting to me because I wasn't involved. I just heard about it. One of the local pastors in Nairobi, Pastor George, of the Heritage Baptist Church, where we went and helped them with their seminar, they helped Peter as one of their supporting churches now. They took a group down to Tanzania to do evangelistic services and evangelistic soul winning and doing a little bit of building projects and just having a good time. And it was exciting to see Kenyans help Kenyans using their own finances and time and prayer to reach Tanzanians for the Lord Jesus Christ. This past time, I got to speak to Brother George over a Skype phone conversation, and he said, Brother Novak, he said, it's so difficult here. It's much harder than Kenya. But in their evangelistic services, they got to show 35 people how to come to Christ and know Him as a personal Lord and Savior. But missions is a matter of listening. Missions is a matter of believing. Missions is a matter of obeying. Missions is a matter of going. Missions is a matter of helping or sending missionaries to where we cannot go. Colossians 4 and verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Paul was thrust into a ministry. He thought his ministry in life was to kill Christians. But when God saved him, it turned him around, where now he's preaching Christ, and people who were dead in their sins have now come to Jesus Christ. And the matter of missions should go on. It's a matter of all of us working together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless in this remaining time of this message, and that you would use it for your honor and glory. We thank you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.